Well, we'll go ahead and get started. It's a little after 2, and we do have a quorum. And we're missing Dr. Dvorak and Mark Speck, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Item number 2 is the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a request is made prior. And the only items on there are approval of the agenda and the last month's Board of Health minutes. So I need a motion, a second. Any further discussion or correction of the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Is there anybody that has anything? Oh. Come on up.
Oh, I'm Heather Bombi with the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
Met everyone before. I just have updated legislative guide.
Okay.
From the department. And so it talks about each one of the divisions.
Okay.
Iowa Department of Public Health. And then it also has contact information in the insert for local public health departments.
Okay.
And I give that to you saying it was updated as it possibly could be. When it was printed, but obviously with staff changes, it's
sure.
Probably out of date. So if you need more recent information, be sure to look at the Iowa Department of Public Health website.
Okay.
That's all that I have today. Other than probably Eileen will at some point be bringing the application for the local public health.
I think we've actually got it. Yeah. Yep.
So if you have questions about that today, I'd be
okay. Okay, very good. And not seeing anybody else darting for the microphone, we'll move on to additional items. Election of officers. So, I think if we wanted to just take a motion to keep the officers the same as they are, which would be...
And I'd be okay with that.
Okay, so okay. We'll make the motion. Is there a second?
Yes, I guess.
It's been moved and seconded to retain the officers as they currently are, which would be myself as the chair and Dr. Passion as the vice chair. Any additional comments? And we'll do a roll call. Dr. Passion?
Aye.
Dr. Kluge?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So we have our 2013 officers for the Board of Health. Next is discussion of the board vacancy. As you've noticed, Mark Speck is absent. His term was up July 31st of 2012. There was legislation passed that actually took effect in 2012 that said that all appointed boards and commissions need to strive to be gender balanced. It's actually under Iowa Code 6916A. And with Mark's term being up, we were the Board of Supervisors was ready to reappoint him because I had spoken to him and asked him if he wanted to serve again, and along with our Condemnation Commission, which is another large commission that only meets if necessary. It has to do with eminent domain, and luckily they don't very often meet. But well, we were asked to put those appointments on hold until we could get further explanation about how this law would affect our appointments, and the week after that board meeting, we had a briefing from our assistant county attorney, Jessica Reynolds, and it's her take on the law, and also I've got it's our Iowa County magazine that comes from the Iowa State Association of Counties, and they have legal counsel, and it's also their opinion that any board members whose term has expired, the Board of Supervisors or the appointing body needs to go through an application process to fill that. So even if you have a sitting member who wants to be reappointed for another term, you still have to go through the application and selection process to satisfy state code. And state code says you have to do due diligence to try to find a person to fill the spot. And you have to try to maintain a gender balance on the board. And So in order to do that, we've put out a notice on our website that we have applications for this and whatever other boards we have open. I think that deadline is actually maybe tomorrow. And then after the deadline is up, we have to wait 90 days to fill it. So.
Does Mark want to do it?
Yes.
Keep doing it?
Yes, he does. But even with that in mind, we still have to go through this process. So the application deadline, I believe, is tomorrow. It's on our website. And even after the deadline is up, the law says you have to wait 90 days before you fill that vacancy.
Is it possible for him to still serve until the vacancy is filled?
Well,
because all that period of time will go through at least two meetings,
right,
since we meet now six times a year.
Right. And the county attorney's opinion is no. Okay. Once, and hopefully, you know, I guess I'll take as much blame for this as anybody, because I was under the misconception that if a sitting member wanted to be reappointed, he could be, or they could be. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. So, and I don't know, I can't remember when your guys' terms are up, but in the future, we'll start this process by the 1st of October.
Okay.
So, in doing that, we'll have everything in place so sitting members can be reappointed if they choose to do so by the end of the year. So this is just a glitch. I've talked to Mark about it a couple of different times, and he's willing to serve. Mark brings some background to the board. I think it's kind of unique, and it's needed. I mean, we're required by law to have a physician on the board, mm-hmm. but that's all it says. It has to be a five member board with one of them being a physician. The county attorney believes that if the board of supervisors wants to put some qualifications in place for board members, that we could probably do that, and that's something that we haven't discussed. You know, for instance, the conservation board, they'd like somebody with some sort of a background in that area for board members. I mean, it's not an absolute requirement, but so, and as of now, I haven't gotten any interest or no applications. So we'll wait and see what happens. And I will stay in contact with Mark and let him know that we still love him. We haven't forgotten about him. So hopefully, like you said, he won't be able to be here, or we won't have that position appointed for the next meeting in April. So he won't be back until June.
Are all our terms up in the first of the year or July, or are they different?
I think all the terms are staggered, but they all expire on the 31st of December.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, I think I just asked you, was it last year?
I think it was last year.
And I think there's a three-year term.
I think there's a three-year term.
Well, so this might be my last.
I think mine's 2014. For
sure. I think so. I've got a list of all the expiration dates. So, like I said, in the future, we'll just start this process by the 1st of October. That way we're covered for the 90-day period up until the end of the year. So, but it does make it a little dicey getting a quorum with only four members. So the pressure's on.
But I gotta be here. All right.
Okay, the next item, jurisdictional boundaries for the Story County Environmental Health and Incorporated Areas update. And Margaret's not here, so I guess it's up to me, unless you guys know anything. We've had the discussion, this board's had the discussion about what the Environmental Health Department actual responsibilities are in the city of Ames. And I think the code says that any city that's got a population of over 10,000 can have their own Board of Health. And the city of Ames has a Board of Health, but the last I know, and I can't remember exactly who told me this, but they were going to pass a resolution to disband the Board of Health. And actually all it is the City Council acts as the Board of Health. And we've had a couple incidents with the questions about bed bugs, and I think there were some landlord-tenant issues about windows not being replaced in a timely fashion. And, you know, I don't know that kind of stuff is the Environmental Health Department's responsibility in the first place. That's more of a housing. I mean, Ames has got their own inspection and housing department, planning and housing, and I mean, I've had a couple of conversations with the city manager over there about it. And I think from our conversation with Margaret in the past, there's not a great deal that your department would have to do in Ames regardless. I mean, there's a few holdouts, I think, that are still on, like a private well or septic system. And I think there was even somebody she was working with, wasn't there, that had their own, was it their own septic system, I think, maybe, that she'd been working on, or it's actually still in the city limits, so...
So would that mean that we'd be responsible for inspections and, like, food inspections?
No.
Like, no, okay, got it. That's state? Okay.
They gave that
that's
up.
Right.
And that's why a lot of this stuff has kind of, I think, fallen to us since the since their health inspector did leave. And the Department of Public Health told them that they were gonna take over their inspection. So.
But she has had that, Margaret has had that conversation with the Board of Supervisors during the budget work sessions that we just got finished up, and I think I haven't heard anything from the city that they have passed that resolution, but it was my understanding that was their intent, that the council was going to pass a resolution to disband the Board of Health, and then it would fall back to this department. So in Margaret's absence, who's going to do the update? Matt Corey, come on down.
Well, I just got this about an hour ago, so she had on her budget main changes, Hickory Grove Lake proposed $10,000, Board of Supervisors has recommended $5,000, and you'd probably be able to explain that better than
that,
I would.
That was this, the whole grant thing that we were talking about you know, I think it was this committee that thought it would be a good idea to dump up to $10,000 into one new septic system, and this board thought instead of putting it all in one spot, maybe spread it out a little bit. The Board of Supervisors, you know, we were in favor of the idea. We were we questioned the funding a little bit, the funding amount. We reduced the $10,000 to $5,000. And my question was, or concern is, that we make sure that we involve the Conservation Department. I mean, Hickory Grove is their flagship park. However, I would assume most days out of the summer, they don't recommend that you go in the water. So, and they know that the bacteria, it's E. coli, I think, is what's spoiling the soup.
Well, it's been, 2 years where they haven't been able to have a triathlon swim.
Right, because they won't swim in it. So, and I should have brought that stuff with me, I can't remember how many septic systems that are...
What is there, 8 permitted out of, 16 houses in the watershed or something?
It's about a split. But it's one of those things where even if you focus on the systems that aren't permitted, and if it's not permitted, then you're going to assume that they don't have any type of a septic system. I mean, it may be somebody that's got a permitted system that's not working right. And I think Margaret talked about that last time, about how it would be very difficult to find out for sure exactly where that's coming from. And I think there's 18 or 20, you know, households in that watershed. And probably close to half of those are what they call unpermitted. So, but I did find out something interesting. There was one of the latest ones that was transferred, I think, the title was transferred in 2010. And it was a bank foreclosure. And those properties are exempt from inspection.
Bank foreclosures?
Yep. And I asked Morgan how that happened. How does that happen? She says apparently the banking industry has a pretty strong lobby.
Yeah.
So if you buy a house out in the country that's on a septic system and you buy it through a foreclosure, there's no time of transfer inspection on the septic system.
Oh.
Or I don't know about the well, I suppose the...
sometimes now the sellers, I mean the buyers are...
Require that.
Banks, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to pick up the sum of the...
That's, I mean, you buy a house and you've got a bad septic system, that's a huge investment.
And that was, you know, the county had to be an ordinance, the one that we couldn't keep. We did not exempt any of that construction.
Right.
And then the state said, no,
it can't be. Yeah, it can't be anymore.
Scanning project, Tim started that basically right at the beginning of the year. He spent a couple weeks right there at the end of the year getting things together, getting settings correct and everything, make sure that the best quality comes out of that scanner. And he's doing pretty good. We've been going through and purging all the duplicate stuff that we don't need. I told Margaret I wish we would have weighed all the files before we started purging and then weighing them afterwards, because I'd like to see the weight difference. But he's on Franklin Township, which is Township 5. He started at 1, and he just started on 5, and that's the north part of Ames,
right.
All those subdivisions up there, so it's going to slow him down. Franklin and Washington Township are going to be his slowest. I just worked probably about 7,000 files now, and so most of those are multi-page.
Yeah.
So he's probably scanned 12,000 sheets already, close to it. So he's moving right along. We started receiving the MMP updates in our department instead of the auditors, and that's going well so far. Margaret did talk to the DNR the other day about being able to send them electronically, and they're okay with that. The farmer or the company that's managing the farm can send them to us, and then we'll scan it, send it back to them, and then they can mail it to the DNR that way. It does have to come. We can't send it right to the DNR. It has to come from them. All three of us went to the Iowa conference, the IOWWA, the Iowa On-Site Wastewater Association. And that's where we get most of our CEUs that we're required to have through the year. Some updates on time of transfer and some of the regulations for the on-site wastewater stuff was discussed there. And basically, that's about it. I don't have Margaret's little fancy PowerPoint that she usually has.
She's only got a cute picture there. Yeah, the scanning project that he's talking about is the Planning and Development Department just finished up almost a two-year project, and they're scanning all the paper files and converting them into a digital image. And so now the Planning and Development Department is paperless. They don't even have a filing cabinet in there. And hopefully by the end of this calendar year, the health department will be the same way. So I think I'm just old enough that makes me a little nervous to know.
Hope the lights don't go out.
Hope the lights don't go out. Yeah. The next thing they had was the Hickory Grove Watershed Project update. Is anybody going to update that, or are we going to wait? Because I'm not sure what she's... Okay. Yeah, I think we're, and I haven't talked to her since we did our budget stuff, so we'll just have to wait and see. There was some maybe some interest from the Board of Supervisors that at least Margaret and I, if not other members of the Board of Health, asked to be on the agenda for the Conservation Board to let them know that, you know, that we're serious about trying to figure out where the E. coli problem is at Hickory Grove. So we'll have to wait until Martin gets back to fill us in on that. And then the tattoo, tanning, and pool contract would be Catherine. It does. I'm not going to tell her that, though.
Yeah, Margaret just had asked me to kind of see what we needed to do to get up to speed on doing those inspections. And it looks like Matt and I kind of threw some numbers together. It looks like there'll be about 26 tanning facilities, 5 tattoo parlors, and about 68 pools. That might be a little bit less. We weren't quite sure on that. But because there might have been multiple inspections we were counting. Is that what we decided? Yeah. And,
hey, 68 pools?
Yeah, but I'm thinking that might have been the extra inspections they did on the pools. I'm not sure how many there are.
What it is that there's multiple, like out here, the four parks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Plus, it would include, I'm assuming, the apartment complexes, too.
Yeah, I think it's all public access pools, I think is what it is. So all the hotels.
Yeah.
Apartment
complexes,
yeah. Federal,
like ISU. Yeah. And it adds up after a while.
Now, I would assume if there's a pool and a hot tub, that they're both separate.
So when it comes to the training, I think the most intensive will be with the pools. And we need to be certified pool operators. We need to take that course, all of us. And there's a couple of different places we can take it out of. And I think, I'm not quite sure on this, but I think there's an online one that you can do, but I think that might be when you have to recertify. And the certification is good for 5 years. And as far as the tanning goes, we do have to, there's nothing really set for the tanning, but there is the Department of Public Health is putting on a one-day training, which will include the tanning, tattoo, and pools in April, so we'll probably all go to that. And as far as the tattoo certification goes, we just have to take the bloodborne pathogen course, which is an online course that we would have to take. So we're kind of getting ready to sign up for those courses. That's about where we stand right now.
And when do you remember when the contract?
I thought it was July 1.
July 1st? Okay. And it's currently being done by
Hardin County.
Greenbelt or whatever it is. It's the Hardin County.
Hardin County, yeah.
Right.
And prior to that, it was Cerro Gordo that had it. So.
Yeah. And I don't know why we've never done it.
Well, usually it was because of the, you know, in the past few years, this is my guess, in the past few years, because of the slowdown with the economy, the septic and the wealth really decreased, especially the building.
Right.
And then with the state coming in with the septic inspections and changing it, we don't have as much a role as we did when we had our ordinance that we were inspecting. So that freed up quite a bit of our time. But prior to that, we were busy with the septics and wells.
I think we did do it at some point, and then we decided we weren't. And that's when it...
When he first started, I know he was doing restaurants too, I thought, maybe. I'm not sure. But then I think it had to do with the board directing it differently. But maybe Dr. Kluge remembers.
We did pools. I don't think we ever did restaurants. We talked about that, but we allowed. Well, Ames jumped in. They didn't want us in there, or they did their own, and then the state came in. We could have contracted with the state. But.
And we did have the discussion during Margaret's budget. Process about, you know, manpower and whether she had the manpower. She assured the board of supervisors that, you know, it was something that they could do, and the training, you know, wasn't going to be that difficult, the certifications to obtain. And then there is also, it's the revenue side. So there is, I mean, it'll generate some revenue also, because there is a fee associated with the inspection, so. So I think
it's a 3-year contract, so you can reevaluate after 3 years. Too. Yeah. That's all I have.
Okay. Agency report. I don't see anybody from Youth and Shelter Services. And I don't see Eileen, but I do see.
And I also have Patsy's report, Patsy DZ.
Okay.
But since Heather mentioned the local public health services grant, we can start there. Eileen emailed you, are attached to an email, the local public health services grant. And this is not a new grant. Yes. It's not a new grant. It's one we've had for years and years and years, a big chunk of our local public health services money. But we're required to have you approve our application for it, just to show that we're interested. So we would like approval if that is possible for this, and I'm appreciative that Heather is here in case you have any questions regarding it.
Well, I've looked it over, and I don't have any questions.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward.
So I'd like to move that we approve the local public health services contract.
Second. And a motion and a second that we approve the local public health services contract for FY14. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Contract approved.
Next would be Patsy's report, the financial report. And she asked that I let you know that on the back page of this, that it looks like there's 56% of the grant spent at this time for the local public health services contract. And she said that is very much on target. There's nothing new or any caveats there. Also, she included, or Eileen had her include, the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program grant. And this one, it shows at the bottom, it says the FEP total. So far, we have spent 29% of our funds, which doesn't sound like very much, but we plan to have incident command staff training, and in May, there'll be a volunteer training. Their training's coming up, and then plus in March, we do inventory of our supplies. And so there are some supplies we know that are going to be expiring, so we'll replace those. We rotate those through. So we've already used some of those and plan to replace. So there is not going to be any issues or problems spending what's left here. So the $54,000 will be spent. As part of this grant, a chunk of it was to spend with public health agencies forming coalitions for emergency preparedness. And Eileen was just wanting me to convey that at this point, there have been two meetings held with other counties that touch Story County. And the general consensus of all counties at this point in time is that each county plans to form their own coalition. And the reason for that, one of the reasons is that there has been not much and not a whole lot of state guidance. And at this time, each county kind of wants to hang back to see how the state handles it going moving forward. And each county is pretty dependent on that money, the funding
right.
that we get every year. So I think it's more cautious approach, but there are several counties that are moving this direction, so we're not alone there. But there's further meetings, further discussions, and each county developing their own bylaws. So Story County Emergency Management, Mary Greeley Hospital, Story County Medical Center, and Story County Public Health are in the process of talking and developing bylaws for this coalition. So there'll be a lot of information moving forward, but there really has not been a lot of guidance as far as how. Yeah. So that is basically her report and Patsy's. Now, as far as my public health report. We continued with pertussis continuing in December and October, November, December. However, in January, I think we've had just a couple cases. So, in the month of January, influenza now, as far as Mary Greeley Medical Center and in the county, it's going down as a whole. There's still hospitalizations taking place, but clinics and hospitals are reporting a decrease. However, it's still an increase overall from last year. Also, according to IRIS, the Iowa Registry System, there are more people vaccinated this year than there were last year. So Now, in January, we had one case of active TB, an international student who's been isolated for the last 2 weeks. He has no symptoms at all, so he had some tests run that showed that he does have TB. He does have active TB, but at this time it's asymptomatic. That's the beauty of international physicals. They find them before he becomes contagious. It's just a matter of time. So today was our last day to directly observe him as far as taking his meds. And after today, he'll get to go back to class, and then he'll be getting his meds at Thielen Student Health. So pretty uncomplicated case. And so far, he's not shown any resistance to any antibiotics. So that is good. Our lead program, we were following a little fella that had a high lead level, and we received a result yesterday that was good. His lead level has started going down. We followed a couple other cases that have not resulted in home visits. Then we did touch on the emergency preparedness grant earlier. So we have two trainings coming up that we'll be planning for. And as far as immunizations, our kids' clinics, our adult clinics have been busy. And we plan to have school-based Tdap clinics this year, with the goal being with those clinics, we don't plan to have many kids vaccinated. We just don't, because our clinics do just a fantastic job vaccinating and getting teens in. But who we target are kids who don't see a doctor, and so we do have that. And we're hoping we can vaccinate 200 to 250 kids is what we're hoping for in the school system. I think the last time we had an effort to vaccinate kids with Tdap, we vaccinated close to 200. It was 195, I think, in our county.
So at these clinics, will you be offering any other types of vaccines, like HPV and Manaptra?
We don't plan to right now, but we can change that. That can be changed, especially, again, if they're kids that don't see a physician regularly. However, with HPV, then they would have to get, you know, we would have to do follow up and do the subsequent, but that shouldn't be an issue. But we're hoping we could get out there earlier and offer flu vaccine, and we probably still will do that, even if it is, you know, February or March. But Manaptra and HPV would be good as well.
You know, Manaptra would be a real nice one to give, because that's just a one-time one.
Hepatitis. Yes.
But even if you decided to give just one HPV, a lot of these kids' financial status changes. I don't know how many children I don't see for like 6 or 7 years, and then all of a sudden they're coming in again.
Right.
Insurance, or they have to do it for sports. They had one, they don't have to have it repeated.
Right.
And they're all...
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. So,
I have another question about influenza. When you're done, I mean, are you done?
Yeah, I'm finished. That's my report, basically.
I brought this up last year, and I wonder if there's any more data out there about what percentage of our patients in Story County are immunized against influenza. Do we have any type of data? You know, it's they say this year we've done better than we ever have, both adults and pediatric patients. But I know what some national statistics are, and they're pretty dismal for kids, like only like 25 to 30%. And is there a way that we can get this, for now that there's an IRIS system, that, you know, most of us are putting our influenzas in IRIS? Is there a way we could figure this out? Is there a way the state could tell us, like, what our percentage in our county is vaccinated?
Yeah, it seems like it would be a program that they could run through IRIS. Oh, Heather, do you?
I don't know for sure, but I can sure ask the Immunization Bureau to see, even though it may not be exact, if they're not putting everything in there, you could at least have a starting point to see from year to year, are we
right. See, that's what I would like to see. We can say how many we've given within our clinic.
Right. Yes.
But it would be nice to know how we do on a county-wide basis, because
right.
Less, but the family practice department and Story County Medical Center might be picking up and doing more. And so the county does better. It'd be nice to know.
I think on a county level, I think there is a program called COCASA that should be able to pick that up, you know, as a overall as a county, yes. And I'll check on that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident that we would be able to run that program. And the only problem is that program has a history of not working well with Mary Greeley software. We spent several hours, it was 2 years ago, and it would not, the two just don't mesh very well. So I can see if there's any other way. But I thought we ran that 2 years ago.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think countywide we could have a pretty good shot of it being fairly accurate. Statewide would be different.
But I think even if it's a county, I think that'd be a great piece of information. So.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Do we have any inkling as of now how, whether we want to call it Obamacare, is going to affect your budget or our budget, whoever's budget we want to call it?
No, I personally, I've got mixed messages there. Have you heard? Do you want to speak to that, Heather?
No, all the time.
Okay.
No, I don't have any real answers today. Julie McMahon, our division director of the department, says it would be nice to have a crystal ball to look into the future. But what we've been directing our local public health agencies to do at our regional meetings is to put themselves out there to their communities, let the hospitals know, because remember, some of our local public health agencies are not hospital-based. They're county-based, governed by their Board of Health. And so they're not already affiliated governmental-wise with a hospital. So we're encouraging all of them to put themselves out there, let the hospitals know, hey, here's how we can help as a public health agency with our preventive services to help keep your patients healthy, which in turn are going to hopefully keep those people out of the hospital, and the hospitals are going to get paid better within the ACO, the Accountable Care Organization system. There's a pilot project going on right now in Webster County, Fort Dodge, with Trinity within the Iowa Health Systems to see kind of how that whole ACO system's going to work out and try to identify some of the obstacles along the way. And they're just now starting to talk about payment things. But Webster County Public Health has been working very, very hard at trying to say, here's how we can help fill in the gaps for people. Nobody knows right now what that essential health benefits package is going to exactly pan out. So we don't know what all preventive services are in there. So I know I'm not answering your question very, very well, but we're doing what we can at this time with what we know.
Well, I mean, a lot of more people, or quite a few more, well, everybody's supposed to have some kind of coverage now, one way or another, so.
So, yeah, you're exactly right. And so what will that look like? You know, Homeward provides a lot of homemaker services, environmental health services under your grant. And so is there going to be any insurance package out there that covers environmental health services? Probably not. There's not any that do it now. So they're probably not going to pay to have a homemaker come and help prevent someone from going into the nursing home. But as those public health agencies, we need to tell our physicians and our primary providers, hey, we can help Mrs. Jones stay in her own home and keep her healthy, and we'll have an aide in that home and be your eyes and ears, and if we see something, we'll try to catch it before it leads to maybe an unnecessary hospitalization. Dr. Passant, did you have anything
additional?
I have no idea either. So.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We'll all learn together.
That's right. In a year, we'll all find out.
2014. Wouldn't it be nice if they just had a list of things that said, here's how it's going to be. Let's make it as simple as possible, and that'll never happen.
I don't think it'll be simple, but I do think it'll be good.
I would assume that we'll have to wait and hear from Margaret when she's
Did we know what Glenda's going to be?
I didn't hear from Glenda. So... I think maybe next time around we'll have the members reply. That way we'll know.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, okay. I mean, because if we're not going to have a quorum, there's no sense in having a meeting. I mean, you can do your report, but we can't take action on anything. And if there's, you know, we can still have the meeting if there weren't any items that required any action from the board. But if we don't have a quorum, we can't take any action on anything. So we don't have any public hearing items listed. Any staff comments? How's the new Explorer holding up? Good. board comments. Any comments from the board members? Any of you guys have any insight on how this management agreement change will affect Story County Hospital days?
That's a really good question. I was reading in the paper about that, and it's, I don't know, I don't know.
I didn't really understand the whole thing. I do know that it was a 4-3 vote on the board to change management. And as I've served it, they don't have an administrator.
Because it's
an employee of Mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounded like some people were not happy.
One of the board members resigned.
A little vocal.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the big question is that Iowa Health Systems, I don't think, was necessarily interested in the long-term care aspect that Story County Hospital had. So.
And that's their best role.
Oh, yeah. So, I think after that, we just need a motion for adjournment.
Moved.
All in favor? Aye. We're adjourned. Okay.